I tell you what, let me take a look around real quick. Just make sure this is going to work. Okay, good. We're good. Everyone put clothes on this morning. Whew! I was deeply concerned that my illustration this morning was not going to work. I was afraid someone might show up naked today. And that would just be totally weird and totally, you know, it would have completely thrown me off if someone would have shown up naked today, because I would have been in a lot of trouble. I would have had to change my entire message this morning because it just would not have worked. And so I am so grateful that y'all put on clothes this morning. Some of you even more than others. So it's a good thing. So, and the reason I say that is because we're at New Year's time right now. And New Year's is a time that we get rid of the old and bring in the new. You know what I'm saying? We're supposed to get rid of the old and bring in the new. My wife is going, I know exactly where you're going with this. So you get rid of the old and you bring in the new. Well, this Christmas, and it seems to happen more and more. The older you get, the more it seems to happen. Kids, it's not something to really look forward to. But during Christmas, when you get older, what you normally open is what? Clothes. Yeah, that's kind of like the standard thing. We get clothes now, a tie and shirts and different pieces of articles of clothing that we wear. And that's a great thing. It's an awesome thing. I love clothes. I actually, you don't realize how much I do love clothes, because here I have a quick confession for you. I am a clothes hoarder, okay? See my wife, she's in the front row. She's nodding her head like, yes, he is. I have a problem, and I need to get some help probably, because I have a hard time getting rid of, are you elbowing Don right now? No. So I have a hard time getting rid of my old clothes, and I don't know why that is, but it's weird. I get the new clothes like during Christmas and time, and I hang those up, and yet I don't get rid of the old clothes. I don't take old clothes out of the closet and get rid of them. I just hang additional clothes in there, and I've really got a problem, because a lot of times I've got these new clothes. Like today, my entire ensemble is probably, I'm guessing, 12 years old, at least 10. I mean, everything, and I've got a new sweater, I got new shirts, I got all kinds of new things, and honestly, she usually picks out clothes for me. All she had was a sweater laying out, so I had to pick out my own clothes this morning, and so I don't know why that was, but so I get to my closet, I've got all these new things, and guess what I picked out? My old clothes. I chose to put on my old clothes, and I do that regularly. I've got a gray sweatshirt that the hoodie thing part is all frayed. I mean, all the way around the hood, it's like threadbare, and it's just like things. I just love that old sweat. Does anyone else like this? You like your old clothes. You know what I'm saying? We want to wear our old clothes. And even though we got new stuff, you know, it's there. And maybe when there's a special occasion, maybe I'll put those new clothes on. But honestly, when you really think about it, there's really not that many special occasions. We choose. We choose to put on what we're wearing. And I'm glad y'all put on, because the alternative, y'all come and without anything on, that would be very embarrassing, and it would be even uglier, and then we'd have to have a whole new sermon, different sermon, if someone had done that this morning. So I'm glad you did. So what is this whole clothes thing that we're looking at? It really started me thinking about the whole New Year's, because New Year's is so often the time that we do away with the old, you know what I'm saying? There's old habits, old things that we've gotten into, or things that we want to change about our life, and it seems like miraculously something happened at 12 o'clock last night that all of a sudden that seems to be the time that we're supposed to make this change in our life. I don't know what it is between December 31st and January 1st, but everyone thinks this is the time to make a change, and I'm going to make this change. I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to stop doing that, and I'm going to get rid of this, and I'm going to get rid of that, and all these different things, and that's all well and good, but if you don't get rid of something, if you get rid of something and don't put something else in its place, you're going to have a real problem. Jesus even talked about that when he was talking to the Pharisees and stuff. He says, you know what? He says, if you sweep the house clean, I can't remember where this is at. This is just popping in my head right now, because if you sweep the house clean, if you go in and sweep the house clean and you don't put anything back in it, he says, if you get rid of the demons, if you get rid of bad habits, all the different things, if you get rid of all those things, you sweep the house clean, and you don't put something back in its place, something good back in its place, what's going to happen? Those demons are going to go away, those bad habits, those bad things that you're doing, they're going to go away, and all of a sudden, when it comes back and it sees the house clean, it's like, whoa, man, we can even bring more bad stuff into this person's life. And that's what kind of happens a lot of times at New Year's. A lot of times we try to get rid of the bad habits, but we don't necessarily replace them with good habits. We don't start using good habits and doing good things in our life. Same thing with the clothes. We should get rid of the old clothes, but if we don't wear the new clothes, if we don't put on new clothes, it's not really going to do us a whole lot of good. This whole thing with clothes really got me thinking this week about how this whole Christianity thing works and the importance of putting on the new self, the new life that God's called us to. And the reason I say it's so important is because there's a parable that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to read this parable to you. And at the very end, it just really struck me. I guess I hadn't noticed this quite so much as I did this week as I was looking at this putting on the new self, getting rid of the old self, and putting on the new self. There's all kinds of things that Paul talks about. We're going to look at some of that. But this is where it really hit me. When I was studying Paul's, it took me to this, and it really struck me. So I'm going to strike you right in the face right here at the beginning, okay? So in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And he sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused." So this king's son was getting married, was going to have this special day, and he's going to have a wedding banquet for his son. He invited everyone to come to the wedding banquet, to be a part of the marriage ceremony, to be a part of the family, basically, is what the king was doing. He invited everyone to come. Then he sent some more servants. He invited them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, "Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." So he implores those family members, all those close friends, come to the wedding banquet. This is important. But they paid no attention. And they went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized the servants and mistreated them and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned the city. Whoa, that's a harsh reaction. You reject the son and his wedding banquet and that celebration that God has prepared for you? Anyone making the analogy here? I hope so. This is pretty important. You reject that invitation that God has given to you to come to the banquet, to come celebrate with his son? The armies are going to come and destroy those who reject that. But then he said to his servants, let me explain that real quick, because when Jesus is teaching this parable, he's talking to the Jewish nation, okay? He's talking to those who have been called his own for so many years. The chosen people is what he's talking to. He's talking to the Jews. He says, you know what? I've come. I've sent my son. I'm inviting you to the banquet. I'm inviting you to come into a relationship with your God, your Father, the one who loves you and has been taking care of you. I'm inviting you to come and have a permanent relationship here through my son. And if you reject my son, then you are going to be rejected, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to invite, guess who? I'm going to invite the rest of the world. I'm going to invite all the Gentiles is basically what this is talking about, okay? The first part of the parable is toward the Jews, and now he's talking about us because you aren't Jews. We're the Gentiles. And now it's coming to us. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. So that's pretty cool. They went out and invited the vagrants and the streetwalkers and all the people on all the streets of the city. He invited them all to come, every one of them, to come to this great banquet. And that's what we are. We're the streetwalkers. We're the vagrants. We're the guys, the shop owners and stuff like that that really had no part in this kingdom until the Jews rejected it. Verse 11 is where it starts getting weird about the clothes. Okay. It says, "But when the king came in to see the guests," all these guests, they rounded up off the streets. "But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Now, that might sound a little bit strange, but as I read the little notes and stuff like that, you know, if they were bringing him off the streets and stuff like that, they weren't expecting people to be dressed in their wedding clothes, wandering around the streets waiting to be invited to the wedding. As a matter of fact, the king was so rich, was so wealthy, was so generous and amazing that as he invited the people to the wedding banquet, he was actually providing for them the proper attire for them to wear at the banquet. This guy was so rich, he had every size, multiple copies of the wedding clothes that each one would have to wear. And so when they came to the door, they had the opportunity to go to the tailor and get measured. And I don't know how this all worked, but they all had the opportunity to put on their proper attire for the banquet. Every one of them had that opportunity. That's kind of an important thing, to wear the right thing to the right place. I mean, I would look pretty stupid right now if I was standing up before you in my swimming suit. Not that swimming suit. I mean, my swimming suit that I go wear to go swimming. It'd be really stupid for a fireman to show up to a fire, dressed in jeans and a t-shirt to go fight a fire, right? Be pretty idiotic for a soldier to go into battle wearing a dress, right? I mean, there's all types of different clothes for different situations that you're supposed to be going into. And most of us get that and understand it. And the king was saying to these people who were at the gathering at this wedding banquet, he says, there is a proper attire to wear to come to this feast, to come to this celebration. And I know you didn't know about that, but I'm going to even provide the right clothing for you to wear. And for this guy, whoever he was, to walk in, and they say, hey, we got a tuxedo just your size, dude. And you're going to look great. And for the guy to say, nah, I'll just wear my rags. That's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, pretty crazy. You see, that's what's going on in the parable and in our lives today. Seriously, literally. You see, God has prepared an amazing banquet that's going to last for eternity. He's created a celebration and a gathering that is going to be greater than anything you attended last night, by far. The decorations, he's sparing no expense. I mean, the gate that you're going to walk through is one great big solid pearl. The common things that we think of, like the floor, is going to be made of gold. The walls are going to be covered with the most amazing crystals and gems that the world has ever seen. And those are just the walls and the floor and the door. The most common things that you look at every day and you don't pay attention to. Can you imagine what the really special stuff is going to be like the silverware? I don't know why I thought of silverware, but it just popped into my head. Maybe I'm hungry. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? And the thing is, he's invited the Jews, and some of them accepted the invitation, and he's gone out to the entire world. He's going out to the entire world right now. Those messengers are still out there inviting people to the banquet right now, even as we speak. As a matter of fact, as I'm speaking, I am inviting you to the banquet yourself. I want you to be there, okay? And not only is he inviting you in, but he is giving you the clothes to wear. He's asking you to be stripped of your old self. I sound like Bill Cosby there, didn't I? Old self! And to put on the new clothes that he's provided. You know what those new clothes are? I'm going to summarize it real fast. It's Christ. He wants you to put on Christ. He wants you to choose to clothe yourself, immerse yourself in Christ. It's pretty cool if you start really thinking about the imagery, because before we can put on Christ, he asks us to take a bath. Just think about it just for a second. Before Christ can be put on, he says, I want you to take a bath. I want you to get wet. I want you to be washed whiter than snow through the waters of baptism. Not just figuratively, literally, I want you to be washed. I want you to identify with Christ at the very beginning of this new life in your death, burial, and resurrection. Start a brand new life, be washed, and then start putting on Christ. Start choosing to take and get rid of the old garments, get rid of the old way of life, the filthy language and the bad ideas and all these different things. Don't just get rid of that stuff, but then start putting on Christ. There's a really cool passage you're going to look at to kind of get that figured out. It's right here in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, if I remember correctly. Were we in Colossians last week? Y'all looking at me funny. I could not find my notes from last week for the life of me. Colossians. Now I can't find Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Here it is. We're going to start in verse 5. Getting rid of the old. All right? It says, put to death, get rid of, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Listen to this. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the rage. Get rid of the malice and the slander and the filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self, there it is, with its practices, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. There is no Greek or Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, listen to what it says, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, and gentleness, and patience. Put on the garment of bearing with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I can't think of a better New Year's sermon that I could preach than right there. Because that's what it's all about. And here's what it is. It's not just happening on January 1st. It's a choice to put on these things every single day. Just like you pulled on your socks today. You got to put on Christ. Just as you're standing there and you're looking at the t-shirt drawer and you're trying to figure out which t-shirt, you got to figure out, okay, today I'm going to be the image of Christ in this situation. I'm going to put on humility. You got to choose that. Here's the weird thing about humility. If you're thinking, man, I'm just going to be humble today, guess what? You're not very humble. You see, humility is not thinking much. Humility is not thinking much of yourself. Humility is not thinking of yourself at all. At all. You're looking at the interest of everyone else around you. So you're not thinking, man, these shorts would feel really good today. You're thinking, these shorts might encourage someone. Or this t-shirt might say something that makes someone's laugh and makes their day. You're not thinking about yourself at all, about your comfort and your desires and your wants and your needs. You're thinking about the people around you. Being compassionate and seeing their needs. Man, we become, and when I say this, I'm putting myself in this cup too. We're becoming so greedy. We're becoming so self-centered in this world. And compassion is disappearing. If we don't grab hold of that, if we don't choose to once again start looking to the needs of others, if we don't choose to start being kind, literally start being kind. Kindness isn't thinking, wow, I should really do this for that person. That would make me, you know, that's, kindness is putting those thoughts into action towards others. It's not an exercise in mental things. It's actually doing things, kindness. I love this list of what's going on. You know, we need to get rid of the old things, and we all know the things that we need to get rid of in our life. I'm not going to go into all that, but the things that we need to put on, we need to choose to do, are very simple. And the thing that I love about this is the very last part where it says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know what that is, love? You know what that is? Titus learned what love is a couple weeks ago at the Junior Jubilee. He did. The light went on. You know what love is? It's the thread. That's what it's telling us right here in Colossians. Love is a thread that binds the material together. It pulls it all together. See what it says? It says, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. You know, without the love, without the thread, we'd all just be wearing rags. You know what I'm saying? It would just be pieces of cloth that we draped over our bodies. But love binds all these things, all these pieces of Christ together to form in us and around us and through us what God intended us to be. If you want to know what love is, take a look at 1 Corinthians 13. Love is... Let's look at it. I'm almost done. Relax. I know when I do that, some people go, oh, we were almost there, and then all of a sudden you got this other idea. Now we're going again. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because this is a thread. And I love it because it's talking about the same thing Colossians is talking about. And now I'll show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, wow, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. That's basically what Paul is saying. He says, you can do all the good things, but if you're not doing it with the motivation of love, if you're doing it just to be a good person, people say, wow, Anthony, you're really a good person. Well, yeah, you're just really great. And if you keep taking that, and if you're doing it for your self-motivation, you're missing it. You're missing it. See, what motivates all these things is love, because love is patient and is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Does this sound familiar? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. It's the thread that holds it all together. That's what he calls us to be. And the amazing thing is, it's all summarized, just like I said before. We put on Christ. We get rid of the old, and we put on the image of Christ. And it's something we choose to do. He's given us an amazing wardrobe with the Holy Spirit. He's provided it. He's given us a closet full of the virtues of Christ, of the characteristics of Christ. And we have the opportunity to choose to put them on. This New Year's is a great time. I mean, we can turn over a new leaf. We get a whole new calendar with all new pictures. You know what I'm saying? I'm so looking forward to getting my new calendar to hang up on my wall with the dry erase calendar, and I can make all my new little dates completely clean, except for all the weddings that they've already scheduled on me this year, and all this stuff that's going on is brand new slate. And I get to choose what I'm going to write in each day of the year. And I get to choose each day whether I put on Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring my Father glory. In Matthew chapter 22, just to come back to where we started, he noticed the guy without the wedding clothes. And I would really like to say that he said to the guy with the wedding clothes, go back to the tailor and pick out the clothes. Come join the feast. Come join the party. I would really like to say that. Just like I'd like to say that he sent out messengers back to the people that he invited the first time. Sometimes we only get one chance. We only get one chance to put on the clothes. And that means for eternity, and it also means on a daily basis. We cannot go back to the beginning of the day and say, oops, I forgot to put on my compassion today. Sometimes we get one chance. He asked, how did you get in here without the wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. I really don't want to read the last part. And the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. Many have the opportunity, but few take the advantage. Put on Christ. This year, 2017, with all the craziness that this year is going to have, I don't know why, but I have a feeling this is going to be one wild ride. And I really do mean that. I think this year we're going to be challenged in ways that we have never thought of in this world and in this country. I think the pressure is going to get put on this year like we've never experienced before. But I think the opportunities to put on Christ and let his light shine are going to be even more extraordinary. But we have to choose to let his light shine, to let the character of Christ be a part of who we are on a daily basis. Amen. Today, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And just like this morning when you stood in front of your closet and you got to choose what you're going to put on, as we're singing this song, you have the opportunity to choose Christ. Literally, to choose him today. If you want to, go through Colossians 3 and pick out a couple of those articles that maybe you're lacking or maybe you're getting a little worn out in your wardrobe and you need to replace. Need a little more patience. Put on the full armor of God. All kinds of different things that he's calling us to shine his light. Maybe this morning, none of those things are in your wardrobe, and you need to choose Christ today. You need to set up an appointment to be washed in a watery grave, to be made new, with a whole new wardrobe available to you. Today's a great day to get that started. I'm going to tell you right now, we're kind of low on attendance this morning, so it's not so scary. Everyone who's here is smiling. Most everyone here is smiling. It's not as intimidating today. If you need to make that choice and set up that appointment, as we're singing this song, step out of your comfort zone. Walk to the front and claim Jesus as your new wardrobe, your new life, your new hope. Let's stand as we sing.